Hi, this is Jackie with Panama Relocation Tours, and I want to thank you so much for calling in on this Saturday afternoon for our weekly conference call. The last two calls, we did a Q&A conference call, so today I'm going to be interviewing an expat. Her name is Julie, and we'll get with the conversation with her in just a little bit. But before then, I wanted to make just a couple of really quick announcements. One announcement is that, you know, in Panama, we've had pretty tight restrictions because of this COVID virus, and we were not allowed to travel outside of the province where we lived unless we had this special permission, a thing called a salvo conducto, and you had to have a pretty darn good reason to be able to get one of those. So our videographer was not able to do any videos outside of the Boquete area where he lives and where I live. So that's why you've been seeing so many videos for Boquete, Boquete, Boquete. People say, well, you only like Boquete. You only promote Boquete. And I love living in Boquete. That's where I live. It's also where Julie lives. But we just couldn't leave this area to go do videos anyplace else. But last week, on the 14th, those restrictions were lifted, and now we can travel all over the country, anywhere we want to go. So my big announcement is that on Monday, we're going to be, the videographer is going to be in the Azuera Peninsula, and we've got five different videos lined up. We're going to be doing some videos of the Chitre area, Las Tablas, Pedici, and a couple of other secret locations, places that you've probably never heard of before. We also have five different interviews lined up with people that live in that area to see where they live. Some live right on the beach, some live in town. So you're going to be able to see a lot of new areas that you haven't seen in our videos before. And then the following week, right after he goes to the Azuera, he's heading over to Bocas del Toro. We're going to start out with a couple that lives. A lot of people think of Bocas del Toro as only the islands, but there's actually a whole area that's on the mainland. And we're going to do an amazing video with a couple that lives on the mainland, and they have a beautiful organic resort, 15-acre resort, that's just got spectacular views. So you're going to be able to see that and then some of Bocas. So what I'd like for you to do is let me know what area you'd like us to do. After we do the Azuera, after we do Bocas, send an email and or put something on Facebook, send me a message on Facebook and let me know which area you'd like us to do a video of next. After we do the Azuera and after we do Bocas, and that's where we're going to be heading to next. It's just we're going to do the majority rules. Whatever you want to see, that's what we're going to go do. And one other quick announcement, in our online Panama relocation guide, which we started offering shortly after the pandemic shut us down for doing tours, we've added several more areas where you, with instructions on how you can do your own self-guided tour. If you want to just come into Panama on your own and go to a particular area, we have information on where, which hotel to stay at, how to get to the town, who to contact to see some rentals, and certain shopping areas that we think you should check out to see if it's going to have the things that you're interested in. So we've added some more self-guided tours, and today I got all the information on our private tours that I'll be adding up probably tomorrow, definitely by Monday. I'll have the private tour information will also be inside of the online Panama Relocation Guide. Some exciting things that we have going on for all of you here at Panama Relocation Tours. Even though we can't do tours, we're showing you videos to see what it looks like in Panama and providing you information on how you can get down to Panama and do your own tour or have a private tour with one of the guides that we've handpicked because we know they're so knowledgeable about the different areas. So without further ado, I'd like to introduce our guest, Julie.
Hi. So Julie, welcome. Hi, everybody.
Welcome to the call. So let's start out with talking to everybody about why did you decide to move to Panama and when did you move to Panama?
Well, it was a couple of years of research. I was working in Houston, and the drop in oil prices really affected my business as a commissioned salesperson. So I started to, So I started doing some research and kind of narrowed it down to Mexico. I'm from Texas, and I decided Mexico's too dangerous. And I looked at Ecuador, and I thought Ecuador's too hot. And so I looked at Panama, and it just seemed to check off all the boxes. And then my financial advisor told me he had a friend who already lived in Boquete. So I spoke to him, and then I took Jackie's tour, and I moved here. I took Jackie's tour twice. Initially,
that's
in
right.
December.
Yeah, I just now remembered. Yeah, you went on the tour twice. I'd kind of forgotten that part.
Yeah, December of 2016 for my own purposes, and then my elderly parents had issues, so I wasn't able to move, and then I did her tour again in March of 2018, and it took some time, but I was finally able to move here in May of 2019. So I've been here in Boquete since then, and I could not be happier.
Yeah, so when you first moved to Panama, and you live in the Boquete area, so when you first moved here, I tell people all the time, don't rush into buying anything. You need to rent first, because sometimes the first area that you rent in, you'll say, I thought this looked perfect, but maybe it's a little bit too hot or a little bit too cold or don't like the neighbors or dogs bark or... it's too not as close to town. You know, there's all kinds of different reasons that people moved a second time or a third time. I know some people are on their fourth or fifth time, and they've only been here 2 years. So when you first moved here, I know you moved into an area. Didn't you go to the country club, right? Boquete Country Club area, right?
Yes. I was in Boquete Country Club, and I had a year lease with a six-month no-show, and it was a gorgeous condo, fabulous, a view of Volcan Baru, and I loved it there, but my unit sold. So I had to move out, and I had to move out in December, which is pre-COVID and high end of the season, so there were very few rentals available. However, I was fortunate with my realtor, Rachel, to find a place in Valle Escondido, and that's where I am now, and I love it.
That's great. So when you moved here, you're single. Have you felt at any time while you've been here, have you felt not safe while you were here or felt uncomfortable because you were single being here?
Not at all. Not at all. The first evening I got here, I took a taxi into town to get a few groceries, and then I went to Mike's Global to get something to eat, but they were already closed. So I walked near there, and I was worried about getting a taxi by myself. So I thought, rather than just, you know, standing on the street and hailing one down, I walked to a gas station, and I thought, this person is busy, and they're not looking to harm me. And he gave me a ride, and that's the only time, and that's the first night I was here, that's the only time I had, you know, an uneasy feeling. But he took care of me and took me to Boquete Country Club, to my condo. And, Jackie, I have never felt unsafe, ever. And I walk everywhere as a single woman, not especially at night. Well, I have a car now. But even if I were walking around in the square at night, I would feel perfectly safe.
Yeah, me too. I feel very safe. And sometimes when we don't have this whole COVID pandemic thing going on, sometimes we have live events that are going on that last till midnight or 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, and you're not always parked real close by, so you have to walk to your car. And there's never been one single time in the whole time that I've lived here that I haven't felt safe. So and I know that's a big concern for single women that are moving here, is if you feel safe and if you feel like you need extra security or anything. And I've never felt that way. When I moved here, I moved here with my husband. But for the last 3 years, I've been here single. And either way, I always felt safe.
I have always felt safe. The locals here are so friendly. Whenever you pass someone, just be polite and say, like, hola or buenos dias, or even just buenas, and they always say it back to you. I find that the locals here are perfectly lovely, perfectly lovely. And I think I could say the same about the gringos here.
Yeah. They are the Panamanians, not just in Boquete, but all over the country. Panamanians are so friendly, and the majority of all expats are so friendly also. So it's just a very welcoming country. Just as soon as you get here, you feel like you're at home, and that makes a big, big difference. So, Julie, what about social activities? We don't have many of them now because of the pandemic, but before the pandemic, did you find that there were enough social activities to keep you occupied and busy?
Absolutely. There's so many volunteer opportunities that have since sort of gone away, although I am becoming involved in another one and we deliver food to some of the indigenous people. But on the social scene, aside from that, and taking care of animals is very important here. Las animales, la jugla de animales. But on the social scene, there's live music, usually at the brewery or Mike's Grill or Big Daddy's or Tap Out. And so you can go there and run into a lot of expats and make new friends. I have, you know, when I choose to go out, I can find, you know, something to do.
Yeah, almost every night there's something going on someplace, whether it's a chef special at one of the restaurants, and they might have just a classical guitar music playing, or live band with some rock and roll music or some Latin music playing at one of the restaurants. Now, this is all before the pandemic. We're all so anxious for it to go back to those good old days whenever all those things happened. But it might be a little while before we get back into those things. It's not going to go back to it instantly. It'll be a slow, gradual move for us to get back into those social activities. What are some other things that you enjoy? Go ahead.
I was just saying, yes, you're right. You know, with some of our restaurants and such opening up on the 28th of September, there's still going to be social distancing, so I doubt that there's going to be, you know, much music. It's possible, but when we are able to, there will be. I know people are so looking forward to seeing their favorite or listening to their favorite bands again, because we really support our music community here. And our plays at like the Boquete Players. So there are social activities to get involved in. And when things get normal, we'll be back in full swing.
Right. What are some other things that you enjoy doing here in this area before the pandemic?
Yes. Well, I love walking and hiking. One of my favorite places is Finca Laredo. It's a coffee plantation or a finca, and they have many trails there, and it's just gorgeous. And there are so many gorgeous birds to look at. So I really enjoy, you know, embracing nature, you know, outside of the country club and out and about.
I know I've never been involved with it, but I know in Boquete there's a group of single women. I think they're called the Chicas. Did you ever get involved with their group or organization?
No, I didn't. And the reason I think is because maybe they don't promote themselves as much, although you could learn about them through friends. But I went to a ladies' coffee at the Perfect Pair, and there were so many ladies there, and the leader said, you know, let's go around the room and everybody say your name and where you're from. And as I said, there's probably 50 ladies there, and my ears perked up every time I heard Texas. And when the presentation was over with, when it became time for us to gather, we Texas ladies just migrated towards one another. And so I have a great group of friends with them, although I have friends from Canada and other parts of the United States as well.
Right, and you know, going to those little, and if you're on Facebook, you have to get on Facebook when you move to Panama. I know some of you absolutely hate it. I don't like it either. I watched a movie last night called The Social Dilemma, which makes me not like social media even more. But it's really important because Facebook is the thing that keeps the glue together here in Panama. It's the way you stay connected. You find out about, oh, such and such band is playing here. There's a hiking group that's going the Pianista Trail on Thursday, or a bird watching group is on Friday, or that's how you find out what's going on. And so you can change your name, or on Facebook, don't be yourself, be somebody else, but you need to do it. And by the way, there's not just things for women that are here. There's also a group in here that's called the Romeos. Romeos is only for men. It stands for Retired Old Men Eating Out. and they get together every Thursday for breakfast, and sometimes they do a lunch together too. And it's just, you know, the chicas is for the women to hang out, the single women. The Romeos, it can be single or married men, but it's for just the men to get together to hang out. And usually what they do is they talk about a need, some need that they know that there is in town, whether it's somebody's house burned down and they need a new house, or somebody, you know, had a child that got in an accident and now he's in a wheelchair and he needs they need medical attention, or they need different things. But they identify somebody that needs help, and then all the Romeos get together and pull their funds together and pull their resources and their help together to do something to help the community. It might be building a house for a teacher in one of the comarcas. So they just do find the need and they fill the need is what the Romeos do. The chicas do the same thing also, but many of the chicas also, before the pandemic, they would have like a shopping trip to Panama City, or they might have a catamaran that they rented over in Bocas del Toro and do a weekend of cruising around Bocas del Toro on a boat. So there's all kinds of different little activities that go on. For people that would like to just, the single women want to stay with single women and the guys want to stay with guys. But, of course, there's also the opportunity for dating. There's plenty of single men that move here that are expats. There's single Panamanians that are here. Also, men and women on both sides. And so I know, Julie, you've been doing dating since you've been here. I haven't done any dating. I have no interest in it at all. But have you found that it's hard to hook up with people and find the right people to date and do things like that here? I know there's single women on this call that are interested in this topic.
I know. Now, when I came here, I had been divorced now 10 years. So having been alone for so many years and living alone and just not finding what I was looking for in Houston, when I came to Boquete, I never thought about, you know, really dating again because I felt too old. But that wasn't true because there's plenty of sociable men, and I have gone out a few times with some of them and had great times. But I met somebody in December. He's from Canada, and we've been together since December. So I found my guy here. I was in the United States in one of the largest cities in the United States, but I came to this little village of Boquete, and I lost my heart to a Canadian.
Well, and it's probably easier to lose your heart to somebody or to find somebody or to explore dating when you are in a smaller town, because whenever you go to, like, if there's live music at the Tap Out, every time you go, you're going to pretty much see the same people are going to be there. Every once in a while, a new person will come along. Or when you go to Mike's Global Grill, it's going to be packed, but it's packed with the same 200. It's going to be the same 200 people that go every single time. And, you know, some people are dating, and if you're just sitting there, somebody's going to walk up to you and say, would you like to dance? And so it can just start as something as simple as that and then lead into, would you like to go out to dinner? And you never
know what might happen. That's the way it happened with me. I mean, I was introduced to this man by a mutual friend, and we just had lunch, and I didn't think anything about it. But a couple of weeks later, I was at Mike's Global Grill for football, and it, as you said, it was packed and so much fun. And he and I talked again, and then a couple of nights later went out to dinner, and thus became our romance. So sports is very is very important here. So I know all the men and many, many women are looking forward to it coming back, because it's an opportunity for us to share our passion for our geography, you know, through sports, and just can't wait for it to start again.
Yes, you're right. And like you said at the beginning of the call, there's so many volunteer opportunities too, whether it's a spay and neuter clinic or volunteering at the dog camp or helping with the Handicap Foundation or the animal rescue groups, all kinds of different volunteer things that you can get involved in. That's a really good way to meet people too, because people just want to get involved. When you move here, you love this place. It's just such a beautiful country, and you want to get involved, and you want to be able to give back to the community. So by volunteering, it doesn't cost anything. You don't have to eat out or anything, but it's a good way to meet people also.
Yes, and then again, before the pandemic, there are a couple of groups who do new member or, you know, new to the Boquete area happy hours, and so you'll meet expats and locals, newcomers, and people who live here. The social opportunities are really very available and so easy. You don't have to feel like, oh man, I'm too old, or I'm too young, or because people here are so accepting. We have the loveliest, supportive community, and as you were saying, our community is so involved in and helping others. Somebody who may have had, maybe she had an accident. We had a lady here who fell down and broke her crown and was in the hospital for ages, and people supported her. And there's so many opportunities to help locals and expats. We just have a very, very loving, supportive community.
It really is. So you've been here for a while. Mm-hmm. And you know, it takes an adjustment. When you first get here, it does take an adjustment to the weather, to what's going to be available at the grocery store and all kinds of different things. So now that you're settled in, are there any things that you really miss from the United States or from Houston that you wish were here that are not available?
Tanning salons.
Yeah. Now remember, this is only a 1-hour call, so you've got 30 minutes.
Just really tanning salons, because I don't do sun, so I can say that's really it.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel like you've had to make some adjustments in the things that you do or your lifestyle because you've moved here?
You know what? In Houston, and it rains a lot in Houston, but when it rains in Houston, it's usually a downpour. So you stay out of it. But in Boquete, you have these, you know, the bahariki, these light, misty rains. And then even right now in the rainy season, sometimes it just kind of drizzles all day. I just bought a pair of rain boots, actually brought some with me, and have an umbrella or a raincoat. And I don't let the rain stop me from doing anything.
Right, and you know, a lot of people, you just rearrange your schedule. At this time of year, in September, October, and in November, you can count on it's probably going to start raining about 3:00 in the afternoon, maybe a little sooner. So you just rearrange your day, and you try to get those things that require you to be outside, you get those done before 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So if necessary, you can just stay in the house or be indoors the rest of the time. So if I needed to do some gardening outside, I would want to do that before noon. You know, you can still go to the grocery store and go to the bank and go to restaurants and do all kinds of other things, even though it's raining. Just always have an umbrella handy, and then you'll do just fine. That's certainly an adjustment that you there's certain times of year when we're going to get rain. There's certain times of year, like January, February, March, where it's going to be a little bit more windy. And, you know, thinking, oh, my hair's going to get messed up. But you just, nobody cares. Nobody cares if your hair is messed up. Nobody cares. You can just, all that stuff, you can forget about it. So you just, you learn to go with the rhythm that we have here in Panama. And the rhythm is, there's different, we do have seasons, but it's either the dry season where it's going to be a little bit more windy and we don't get very much rain at all, like no rain, or it's going to be a little bit more rainy, but you just learn to adjust to all of those different things.
Absolutely. And I think I like the rainy season better. Better. I don't know. It's so verdant and lush here. And as I said, I don't let it stop me. Al and I would go on these long, long, long walks, miles and miles, and it would start raining. And he had an umbrella, but I would just pulled up the hoodie on my raincoat and had my rain boot. Well, I didn't have my rain boots with me, but I just don't let it bother me. Now, sometimes it's, you know, it's really, really heavy, but that makes it for a relaxing afternoon to read a book.
Yeah. So for people that are thinking about moving to Panama, what advice would you give them or what recommendations would you give them?
I would say, you know, depending on where you're going to live, study a little Spanish. Know the pleasantries because courtesy is very important here. So learn a little bit of Spanish. Now, Bucate has a lot of expats, so you don't need a lot of Spanish. But other parts of the country, you do. And it's fun. I had a gardener come over yesterday, and he speaks no English. And my Spanish is beginner to intermediate. And I had the loveliest day communicating with him between my broken Spanish and his no English. It was educational, and it was fun. So, you know, I'm trying to think if there was anything that I forgot that I wish I had brought. Can't really think of anything, because you can get anything here. High-end cosmetics you can get in David. I brought, you know, stuff with me, but you need so fewer clothes than you think you're going to need. So, you know, one of the things that in Houston you had to be, you know, full tilt boogie makeup and dress and high heels and blah, blah, blah. In here, it's just casual. Nobody judges. It's just an inspiring environment to live in.
Now, I believe I remember that whenever you got your visa, that you had a little bit of a problem with that. Or eventually you got it. You got your visa, but didn't you have a bit of a bad experience with that? Can you tell us about that?
I did. Yes. Now, while you recommended a couple of attorneys, I have a very good friend, and she said, oh, you just got to use my person. And she swayed me. And so I used a woman who was really a corporate attorney in Panama City, and it was lengthy. It was problematic. She's not accustomed to working with individuals, so it was... What I would recommend to folks moving here is take Jackie's advice. Take her advice, because she's already vetted these people, and she does it because she wants to save you problems. Had I gone with her, I would not only have my visa now, but also my Isegula, which I don't have because of Corona. And when I can, I will use another attorney for my Isegula and my work permit, one of Jackie's.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. You know, the other thing about attorneys is, you know, one attorney might charge $1,200 and another attorney might charge $12,000 for the exact same service. There's no, there's not a rhyme or reason to it. There's no regulation to it. So you have to be careful. You have to be very, very careful. And just because somebody says that, they did a great job for me, it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to do a great job for everybody. If you ask 10 different people, who did you use, You're probably going to get 10 different answers, so you have to be careful. I can tell you that we've had Panama Relocation Tours, we've helped 1,300 people move to Panama, and all 1,300 of the, almost all of those 1,300 people have used one of the four attorneys that we work with. So I know from how their experience went, then how fast they got their visas, how fast they got their cedula, how well the communication went with everyone. I know that they're going to do a really good job. So that's why it's so important to get with the right person so that you don't feel like you're just being strung along and you keep waiting and waiting and waiting and you don't have it. There's also the problem that when you first get that temporary visa, it's only good for 6 months. So if you have to get your permanent visa within that 6 months, otherwise you have to start all over again. And you sure don't want that to happen. Not only do you have to get all new documents, but you have all new attorney fees. So it's important that everything is done in a very expeditious manner just so that you don't have a nervous breakdown, because that could certainly happen, right, Julie?
Absolutely. Absolutely. As I mentioned before, folks, Jackie has done the work, and not just for attorneys, anything. As when you go on the tour, she's going to give you a book that has all the information that she's going to tell you verbally as she talks to you on the bus. And so she'll often say, it's in the book. It's in the book. So you have in your possession a book of priceless information, as well as her entertaining vocalizations or whatever on, you know, wherever. I don't know how she does it, but she stands up backward on the bus, you know, and looks at her audience while she talks. And this woman has a heart of gold, and she's not making any money off of telling you which attorney to use or anything else. Please trust her. She knows what she's talking about.
Thanks, Julie.
You're welcome.
So one other question that I have for you. I know some people that are thinking about moving down here, they also are torn between, should I stay because my mom and dad are still alive, or should I move because I know this is where my heart is to move to Panama? And you have that same situation. Your mom and dad are still, I believe, in the Houston area, and you're down here. Now, I think they're in an assisted living home, so you couldn't even go visit them if you wanted to if you were in Houston. But I'm sure you're able to stay in communication with them. But what advice would you give people that are maybe planning to move here and they still have mom and dad back in Canada or back in the United States?
Oh, that is a heart-rendering decision. Now, when I first moved here, my parents were in a one-bedroom apartment in a lovely assisted living right outside of Houston in Richmond, Texas. And so I felt comfortable leaving them, knowing that I would come back probably every 3 to 4 months to visit. And then my father's Alzheimer's got very difficult, and he had to move into a 24/7 lockdown. It's called, Fiddly D, I can't think of the name of it, but memory care. So, and then COVID happened, so I haven't seen my folks in a while. But as you said, I'd like to go back in October, but I can't visit my parents. Fortunately for me, I have some cousins who live in Houston, so they can check on mom and dad. But it's just an individual thing. You know, for me to leave Bukete to David is like 40 minutes, and then the flight to Panama City is an hour, and then the flight to Houston is only 4 hours, so I can be there in a day, depending on, you know, when the travel opens up. So it's a little bit easier for me than someone who, say, lives in Canada. My parents wanted me to live my life, so they encouraged me to move here, and I'm so grateful to them. I talk to them on the phone all the time.
Yeah, there, you know, there's video chatting with Skype and different things like that. So you can sometimes see them even though you're not right there. Just like I haven't seen my kids in a while. They're in Austin, Texas, but we do video chats with Skype, and we talk almost every day and email almost every day. So even though you're far away, luckily we live in an age where technology makes it easy to stay connected even though you're a little bit far away. And just having that visual of being them being able to see you and you being able to see them, even if you can't go visit them, that certainly makes it a whole lot easier.
Yes, Mom and I FaceTime, and we giggle because we both look kind of homely. You know, you can't go to a barber shop or a beauty shop yet. So, and she can't be for assisted living, but who cares, you know? Again, it's all about seeing each other and talking to one another, and I'm so grateful for the technology we have these days.
Yeah, that we have available. So if it's okay with you, I'm going to open it up for some questions from our audience. Unless you have anything else you'd like to share with everybody before then, I'm going to open it up for questions. Anything else you want to share?
Yes, just one thing. I knew that I wanted to be in Bukete, but I was mesmerized with the gorgeous island living. I just can't handle the hot. But I am so grateful to you, Jackie, because you changed my life. You made my life is so happy here, and I know hundreds and hundreds and 1,300 other people who feel the same way. So I would like people to know that you are an angel and so trustworthy. You changed my life, and I couldn't thank you more.
Well, thank you so much. You made my day. You know, I've had so many people that have told me that they were in that hamster wheel where they were living. They were driving an hour to get to work and working all day long and driving an hour to get home, and they just got to where every single day they dreaded it a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more. But to be able to afford to live where they were, that was necessary. You had to do those things. But there's a way to get off that hamster wheel. You can move to a place where life is more affordable, and then you don't have to live that stressful kind of a life. And that's what Panama has to offer, is a more affordable lifestyle. You know, whether you're on a super tight budget and you can only, you know, you just have a very small Social Security, there's $300. I know a lady, we're going to be interviewing her. She has a beautiful three-bedroom, two-bath apartment, and she pays $350 a month for it. It's amazing.
Wow.
And then, you know, there's people that make a little bit more. They have a pension. They have other things, and they can live in Valle Escondido, and they can afford $1,500 or $2,000 a month. But there's something for everybody. The other thing about this $350 a month versus the $2,000 a month person, guess what? They don't segregate here in Panama. They don't stay to their own economic thing. It doesn't matter. If you live in a $350 a month apartment, you could get invited to parties that $2,000 a month. And if you live in the $2,000 a month, you might get invited to a party at the $350 a month, and you'll go, because everybody just gets along. They don't care what your background was. They don't care how much money you have. They don't care what kind of car you drive or any of those things. Just all that stuff goes away, which makes just such a pleasant lifestyle, doesn't it, Julie?
Amen, sister. You're so right. People here are so accepting. Nobody cares how much money you have. What they do care about is, can you cook something good, or can you bring a bottle of wine, or can you tell a funny story, that sort of thing. It's refreshing. In a way, Bukete for me is like living in a small Texas town, two of them, Lyford, Raymondville, and even Harlingen, back in the 70s, late 60s and 70s. There's just a simplicity about it. And an appreciation of people that is lacking in Houston, Texas, and some of our larger United States cities.
You know, one of our mutual friends, Chris Duffy, I know you know her, she describes living in Panama as like adult day camp. That it's just, it's like going to summer camp, but it's for adults, and it's just fun things to do all the time. So, well, we can do this activity at 10, and we can do that at 2, and this is happening at 6, and it's a daily thing. And
there's pickleball and mahjong, and Texas train or Mexican train and painting classes. Oh, there's just a plethora of things that can keep you busy.
Yep. And pickleball and, yep, just all kinds of
big
things.
Pickleball.
So, anyway, you guys are going to have to just come check this out. You might think we're making this all up, but we're not. It really is like going to summer camp, but it lasts all year long here in Panama. So let me get with some of the questions. Our first caller is Lana. Go ahead.
Hi, Jackie?
Yes.
Oh, it's Lana calling from Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada.
Welcome.
You might not remember my name, but you've been so gracious. You've answered several emails. I've been sending them to you for the last couple of years. My plan is to move next summer, so thank you for all your answers. And hello to Julie. She has actually answered my questions. It's really great to hear your perspective as a single woman that moved to Panama, because I am single as well. I've been divorced 11 years. My plan is to come next summer with my dog, actually. And yeah. I am looking for a community of supportive friends. And so, again, you answered the two questions I had for you. So, Jackie, my two questions have to do with my dog. They're both related. I've gone on your site, and I've read as much as I can. I don't have the online guide yet. Actually, I was supposed to be on the tour this week, starting yesterday. Yeah, so I'm partly heartbroken and partly frustrated, but yet I'm really, really crossing my fingers I can get on one before I move next summer, because I still do have a lot of questions. But if that doesn't happen, I will be getting the online guide. I have a male friend also from Canada. He wants to move around the same time as me, but I'm not counting on that. I'm definitely coming next summer. So about my dog, I have a senior dog, and I went on, done as much reading as I can on your site about how I'm going to get her there, and I know that it's time sensitive. I understand several of the steps I have to take, because it's going to be difficult from Canada, because I can't fly direct. So if I understand correctly, I am getting my vet papers, I'm getting my flight details, I'm sending that to the Canadian consulate in Canada.
The Panamanian consulate in Canada.
Okay, doesn't it also have to go to my consulate, though?
No? Yes, it has to go to your consulate and then the Panamanian consulate.
Right, that's what I thought. So it goes to my consulate and then it goes to the Panamanian consulate. And I also did more research in case there's other Canadians listening or on the call. There's only three Panamanian consulates in Canada. And so that's BC, British Columbia, Montreal, Quebec, and Ottawa, Ontario. So then the papers go from my Canadian consulate over to the Panamanian consulate in Canada, then they come back to me, and then I'm good to go, correct?
That's correct, yep.
Oh, okay, and I know it's time sensitive. I've got about 10 days to do that. So, now I've got that order. So now when I get there, because I'm going to be traveling so far and she's a senior dog with a couple of minor health issues, if I understand correctly, if I ever plan to come back to Winnipeg with her, which I doubt that's going to happen, but if I did, I have to go through all those steps again, correct?
You do. It would be much better for you to get a pet sitter, for her to just stay here. It'd also be less stressful for her and less stressful for you. Just get a pet. There's so many people that are pet sitters, and they can take care of the pet while you decide to go back for a visit. You'd have to get a vet inspection to take her back. You have to get a vet inspection in Panama. It has to be signed by the Minister of Agriculture here for you to take her back, and then you'd have to go through all those same steps again. So much too stressful for her flying and for you also. So it's better to just get a pet sitter. They're readily available. You can get someone that'll just stay in your house and take care of the pet. And some people don't charge anything. They're glad to do it. Other people might charge $20, $25 a day to do that. So one other thing I want to mention before we go to the next caller. So Julie lives in Boquete. I live in Boquete. And we've talked about this close-knit community here. It's like summer camp for adults in Boquete. Well, guess what? They have the very same thing in Coronado. It's like summer camp for people that like the beach. Coronado's the very same thing. It's a close-knit expat community. And they have things going on every single day. The people that live around Las Tablas and Chitre, same thing, close-knit community. They have things going on all the time, carving classes, mosaic art classes, potluck dinners, live music. So it's not just Boquete that has these things. It's anywhere where there's a group of expats in Volcan, in other places, Ovalle, Panama City, any place that there's a group of expats, this little close-knit community, because you all have something in common, has been created. I grew up in a military family. My dad was in the Air Force, I was born into it and grew up in the Air Force. I would say it's kind of like living on a military base, and I lived in several different countries, and when you live on a military base, it's also a very close-knit community. So the whole expat community, wherever it is in Panama, is going to be very, very welcoming, and you're going to find there's so many things to do, and the people are so, so friendly. So our next caller is Jim. Yeah, Jim and Carol, go right ahead.
Good afternoon, Jackie.
Thanks for calling in.
I have a kind of a specific question that may be better not with the guest, but I know that there are two basic types of visas, the pensionado and the friendly nation visa, and we would be able to qualify for either. We're thinking of spending about 4 months a year in Panama, which we could do on a tourist visa. What would be the advantages and or disadvantages of us getting either the pensionado or the friendly nation visa?
The pensionado visa is significantly cheaper than the friendly nation visa. That's the big advantage. You also get all of those pensionado discounts that you've heard about, like 25% off your airfare, 20% off at restaurants, discounts at pharmacies, discounts on everything, basically. Okay. So pensionado visa is much more affordable. Friendly nation visa costs a lot more. Plus, you have to set up a corporation that has annual renewal fees. And you can still get those discounts, but there's age requirements. To get the discounts when you have the friendly nation visa, you have to be 55 if you're women or 60 if you're men. But the biggest is, and you can get a work permit. So that's the big plus for the friendly nation visa. You can never, ever get a work permit if you get the pensionado visa. So if you don't plan to work, there's really no reason. If you qualify for the pensionado visa and you don't plan to work, I would say definitely go with a pensionado visa.
I'm 75. I'm done working.
There you go. Get the pensionado visa. Save some money.
Okay. Now, what would be the advantage of doing that over a tourist visa?
A tourist visa, there's not really a visa. Tourist, it's a stamp when you come into the country. They put a stamp that says, okay, Jim and Carol came in on this day. That's not a visa. And as a tourist, you can stay here for 6 months.
Right.
You can only drive for 90 days, but you can stay for 6 months. The disadvantage in getting that, you know, only coming in as a tourist and not getting a pensionado visa, is you would not be able to get any of the discounts, technically. The reality is that if you walk into a pharmacy, wherever you are in Panama, and if you have a little bit of gray hair, no hair, they're just going to give you that discount. Same thing if you walk into a restaurant and you sit down, and if you say jubilado, they'll probably give you 20% off. You're not really supposed to get it. If you're only a tourist, you're only supposed to be able to get that if you have a visa. But then you don't have any attorney fees at all if you just come in as a tourist.
One related question. We have a dog. Would we be able to bring in a dog on a tourist visa?
As a tourist, you can bring your dog. You just have to jump through a lot of hoops to get the dog into the country, and you have to jump through a lot of hoops to get your dog out of the country. But, yes, you could. But I wouldn't really advise it if you're just going to be here for 3 or 4 months. It might be better to leave your dog with friends or family back home. So next I'm going to go to our next caller. The purpose of whenever I have an expat that I've invited to be on the call, any questions that you have are hopefully going to be for the expat that I've invited to be on the call. Next week I'll do a Q&A call where I can answer any questions that you have about anything. But preferably on this call, if you have any questions for Julie, our guest, she's sitting here waiting for your question. Freeland, welcome to the call again. Freeland is a regular. He calls in every single Saturday. How are you, Freeland?
Yes, ma'am. Good. And yourself? How are you guys doing down there?
We're good. A little rainy,
yeah,
but we're good.
Yeah. Hi, Julie. Glad to hear your voice. I can't wait to meet you. I'll be down there sometime next year. But I got one for Julie. Is there any places down there that that have like regular dance halls like they had in Panama? I was born and raised in Panama. We used to have dance gardens. We used to go and dance salsa and stuff. So do they have any dance clubs down there?
I'm not familiar with a dance club. I mean, we have, you know, people gathering at Mike's or the brewery where there's dancing. But I bet you could find it if you posted on Facebook, hey, I'm a salsa dancer. Are there any others around? People will respond.
They do have in Panama City, they do have dance clubs, some big rooms where people do salsa dancing, or moringa dancing, or whatever kind of dancing. In Boquete, where Julie and I live, they have the local restaurant that has live music on Friday and Saturday night, and they just clear the tables and make room for a dance floor. So it's a little bit of a different situation.
Yeah, I got you. That's what I was looking for, because I definitely dance the salsa. Well, I used to, but I'm looking to get back into it. It's good exercise.
Well, come
yes,
on
it
down
is.
And teach me how.
Yeah, say again?
I said, come
she
on
said,
down.
Come
on,
oh, come
down.
On down.
Down.
Yeah, I'll,
how?
And
I'll
you can teach her how to salsa.
There you go. Yeah, it's real easy. It's just a couple quick steps. Oh, and Jackie, I've seen your video from, Adventure Rick?
Yes.
Yeah, did you post anything on that to let everybody know that you had a video with him?
No, because I asked him to take the video down. It needs to do some editing before it goes public.
Well, he's got it up, and I watch it. It's a real interesting video. We got to see your greenhouse and stuff. I was really excited about that.
Yeah, but we're going to do some editing. It's down right now, but we're going to do some editing, and then it'll go back up again, so you can get to see my whole property and my greenhouse and all of those things.
Good
and
deal.
If you're on her tour, if you're on her tour, then she will take you to then. And it is magical. Magical.
Yeah. Yep. I live in a magical place. It's hard to leave. Thanks again, Freeland. Next caller, Bill, do you have a question for Julie? Go ahead.
Actually, Jackie, I do have a question, but it was a more for you type question. So let me beg off for this week, and I will catch you next week.
Okay, sounds good. We'll catch you next week. Next caller is John. Go right ahead with your question for Julie.
Hi, Jackie. Hi, Julie.
Hi.
It was just a general question because I was thinking either living in the Boquete area or maybe in the Coronado area. I'm a single man now. Just generally, I mean, would you recommend one or the other, one over the other, or I need to kind of just come down and check them both out?
I think
you're either beach people or mountain people. If you really like the beach life and the warm weather, then Coronado would be a better place for you. There's a thriving community there of expats and Panamanians that loves to have a good time. But if you don't like the beach and you don't like hot weather, then you need to go up in a higher elevation. So Boquete would be better. So it just depends on the kind of weather you like. Panama has something for everybody.
Okay, Jackie, I bought the online.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, I have that. So probably what I should do is maybe just concentrate, because I want the beach area. I would concentrate pretty much from that, looking in the Coronado area, you think, for beach?
The Coronado area or Azuera, either one of those two. Coronado's going to have more expats, more amenities, and more things. So it would be an easier transition to move to the Coronado area, yes.
Okay. And the other was what, just in case I'll go through the online, Eduardo? What was it? I'm sorry. Can you spell the other area?
Oh, Azuera. It's A-Z-U-E-R-O. And that would include towns like Las Tablas and Chitre. And then there's 10 different beach communities between Las Tablas and Chitre. Pedici is a very small town, and it's about 10 minutes away from a beach. So that's another area. If you like that small town feel, then that would be another option for you. Thanks for calling in, John. Next caller is area code 905. Go right ahead with your question for Julie.
Oh, hi, Julie. I wanted to know, did you bring things with you, or did you just go with nothing? And if you did, was there anything in particular that you wish you had brought or had not?
Well, having taken Jackie's tour twice, she came here with two suitcases and a cat. I elected to bring a...
Hello?
Julie? Uh-oh. I think we lost her. I'm sure she'll call right back in. So I know Julie did ship some things down here, some artwork that she had, and a pretty big wardrobe of clothing that she has, so she did ship some things down. And I know that she had a couple of things that were lost in her shipment whenever she shipped them down. Most of the rentals here come completely furnished, so you really don't have to ship anything down unless it's just something you really, really like. For example, I use a Vitamix, and you can't buy a Vitamix in Panama. You can either get it on Amazon, or which is going to cost a lot to ship it here, or you can bring it with you.
Okay.
So that's a good example.
Yeah.
Let me see if she calls back in.
There she is. Yeah,
that's okay.
I lost you. And please forgive me with the interruption. I forgot your name, dear.
Oh, sorry. It's Beverly.
Beverly, I have some pieces of art that are very important to me. So I brought a small, had a small crate delivered with, and I had some large pieces of art. I brought way too many clothes, but... my art was important, so I brought it. Anything. Most of the homes that you're going to move into, if you're renting, even if you're buying, are already furnished. Dishes.
Oh, no,
towels,
I bought
linen,
a home. It's
everything.
Got nothing in it.
Well, bring your own sheets.
I did and left them there, and somebody stole them.
Oh, fiddly dee. Well,
yeah.
When you get back in, you talk to me, and I'll try to help you safeguard those things. No, really, I have some very high-quality Egyptian sheets, and that and my art, that's what was most important to me.
Right, and that's a really good point. If there's certain things that just make you feel comfortable, if you've got that certain pink fuzzy house coat that you like to wear. Or for me, I brought, I have this feather blanket that was from IKEA, and I love that feather blanket. Whether it's hot or cold outside or whatever, I just love that feather blanket. So I brought that, but I was able to put it in one of those little plastic bags that you hook a vacuum cleaner up to it, and you can suck all the air out, so it was flat as a pancake, and it easily fit right in my suitcase. And then whenever I got to Panama, I just took it out of there, and it fluffed right back up again. So if there's certain things that are special in your life, artwork, house coat, certain things, then certainly bring those. But I can tell you that all those clothes that you use whenever you went to work, you're not going to need those clothes anymore. And like men, you're probably not going to ever wear a suit again whenever you get down here. And you're just not going to, a lot of the clothes that you're used to wearing, formal things, you're just not going to need that. So that's why it's good to come and see Panama, see what's available, go to the stores, check them out, see what do the sheets look like, what are their pillows like, you know, does the grocery store have the kind of food that I like? And that'll help you decide what to bring and what not to bring. Next caller is Terry. Go right ahead with your question for Julie.
Hi, Jackie and Julie. I'm Terry I'm Terry from Marietta, Georgia. I have to say, Julie, that as a single woman, you have answered all of my questions. The two of you, just in this one little conversation, I have narrowed down where I might want to live. So I really appreciate that. I have a general question. And that is, if I were to get the pensionado visa, for example, and then an opportunity came up or I found something when I was there where I'd say, you know, I probably wouldn't mind taking this opportunity. Can I change to a different visa?
You absolutely can. And you know what? That's exactly what I did. When I first came to Panama, I got the pensionado visa. I had no plans of starting a tour business. I was just going to come down here and relax. But then all of a sudden, people were calling me about these tours. And, you know, I just did a couple of them for friends that I knew. But then I was getting other phone calls. So the opportunity presented itself to start a tour business. But to do that, I needed to have a work permit. So the process is that you have to renounce your pensionado visa. And that costs $500 to give it up. And then you have to start all over again with brand new paperwork, new FBI report, new everything for you to get the other visa and new attorney fees. So if you think that you might ever want to do any kind of work in Panama, just go ahead and skip the pensionado visa and go straight to the friendly nation visa. The other important reason to do that is the friendly nation visa was passed in 2012 by executive order by one of our previous presidents, Martinelli, for a specific reason. The country was growing leaps and bounds, and they needed more people to come here and start businesses that could facilitate the growth that we had, and just to create more jobs. They needed people to come here to fill some of the openings for jobs. So it was passed for a specific reason. When that reason is no longer necessary, the friendly nation visa could go away. If you already have it, you'll be grandfathered in. But there's no guarantee that in 2021 or 2022 that the friendly nation visa will still be here. So that's another really good reason. If you think you might want to work in Panama or start a business or do anything, go ahead and get that friendly nation visa as soon as possible, because it could certainly go away.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. So it's a little bit after 6 o'clock already, but I'm going to take just two more phone calls, and then we'll call it a day. So Marianne, go right ahead with your question for Julie.
Oh, hi. Hi, Jackie. Hi, Julie. Thanks for taking my question. I'm in Arizona, so I was your neighbor, and hopefully I'll be your neighbor soon again. I'm on the tour scheduled for next August, and I have a question about when you bought your car. Did you intend to buy a car? Was it a difficult process for you, and is it easy for you driving around and getting a license and all of that?
It is easy. I lived in Bukit Country Club, which is 5 kilometers away from the little town of Boquete. I bought a car right away. There's a place here called Value Motors. There's other places, easy to find a car. Driving is very easy for me. COVID has, I don't have my driver's license yet, but I show, if I get pulled over, the policeman my Texas ID, and they're fine with that. But I will be getting my driver's license soon. It depends on where you live. If you live within the little town of Boquete, and I only know Boquete, you don't need a car. But I have one. I have a 2012 Hyundai SUV, and it works very well for me.
Yep, it's easy. There's people that we recommend that are car brokers. You just tell them what you want, how much you want to spend, and they'll go find it for you. So that makes the whole car buying process easy. You do have to get it inspected every year and get new license plates every year. You can even hire people to do all of that for you also. I had mine done in July.
I just had mine done. I went to a local automotive place. They took pictures of my truck, gave me a certificate. I took it to the Lega where my car is from, paid, I think it was like $20 for the new license. It was a breeze.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's super easy to do it. Very, very easy. Our next caller is area code 916. Go ahead with your question for Julie.
Julie, this is Karen Shaula. Thanks for, I'm calling from Arizona. I just wondered, are you having any language issues there?
No, I don't. As I might have mentioned earlier, in Boquete, there are many, many expats, but I speak some Spanish, and the locals are very friendly and willing to work with you. So here, I don't. I've been in Panama City where there's less English spoken, but I have no problems with communication. It just takes effort, and sometimes Google Translate.
Yeah, and in some areas in Panama where there's a high concentration of expats like Coronado and Boquete, if you go to a restaurant, they'll have a menu will be in English and Spanish. If you go to the bank, there'll be someone at the bank that speaks English. When you see a doctor, there'll be doctors that speak English. So, but if you move to a smaller town, like if you were to move to Santa Fe or if you were to move to Puerto Alvarez, don't count on any of those things. There's not going to be menus in English. There's not going to be people at the bank that speak English. There's not going to be maybe even a doctor in town that speaks English. So if you're language challenged like I am, I learned German really fast when I moved to Germany, but I was a teenager. And I know good enough Spanish to get by, to ask for anything, to know when they tell me it's a 24, I know that's $24 or 24 cents or whatever. So I know enough Spanish to get by just well, and I know Julie does as well. But if you feel intimidated by not knowing the language, then I would recommend that you start out in Panama in an area where there's a higher concentration of expats, because that'll make your transition easier. Once you're around Spanish speakers, you pick up a lot more. Every single week, you learn a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more. You might not be fluent in Spanish, but you're going to be able to understand what they're saying, and you're going to be able to communicate whatever it is that you need. But it might take a little while to do that. So when you first move here, if you don't know any Spanish and you're worried about learning Spanish, then stick with some of the areas that have the higher concentration of expats, and it'll make your transition easier. And then maybe 6 months or a year later, you might feel more comfortable with it, and then you might want to move to a different town that doesn't have so many expats so that you can improve your Spanish even more by being around Spanish speakers. Julie, if you don't mind, I've got a couple more people in line that I know would love to talk to you. Do you mind if we hang on the line a little bit longer?
No, that's perfect.
Okay. Next caller is area code 502. Go right ahead. I hate to hang up on these people when they've been waiting so long.
Hello? Can you hear me?
Okay, Jackie.
We can hear you, area code 502. Yep. Go right ahead.
Hi, this is Russ and Julie from Kentucky. And ironically, we were married 34 years ago in Houston. So anyway, we have a question. We're about 40 months away from moving to Panama. We've been following you for several months right now, and we're looking to travel to Panama next month. We've already booked our flight into Panama City, but what path would we take if we wanted to go to Boquete or even Coronado or something like that? Can you all help us with that?
So if
that's
you,
a question for Jack.
When you fly into Panama City, Copa Airlines now will soon start having flights after October 12th. Copa Airlines will have flights from Panama City to David, which is David is on the far western side of Panama. They've lowered their prices even. It's only $69, and that includes taxes and everything. And then once you get to David, there'll be a whole bunch of taxi drivers there. You just say Boquete, and they can take you. It'll be about a 35-40 minute ride, and they'll get you right up to Boquete. So that would be the easy way to get there. As far as getting to Coronado, one of the easiest, most affordable ways to get there, I would not recommend renting a car in Panama City and trying to drive to Coronado because the traffic is insane in Panama City. But what you could do is get a taxi driver to take you to the Albrook bus station. And from there, you can take a bus. It's $3 that will take you to Coronado. It'll be less than 2 hours. And it'll put you off right by the Super 99 grocery store. And you could have arrangements that a taxi driver or somebody there is going to pick you up. In our online Panama relocation guide, we have information about how to do a self-guided tour in Coronado, how to do it in Boquete, how to do it in Las Tablas, how to do it in Volcan, in different places. And included with that is how to get to there. The several different ways that you can get to the particular area, but also where to stay once you get there, recommendations on where to stay. These are places I've been to that I know they're really good. Who to contact to show you some rental properties. Where are the expat hangouts? Where can you meet some other expats? What are some shopping options that you might want to check out? Also, what's the weather like? What's the weather? Because if you look at AccuWeather and some of those things, they are completely off. But we have information on what the weather's going to be like, so you can make sure that you pack appropriately. So I would really recommend that you get the online Panama relocation guide, because I can tell you that figuring out where you're going to live in Panama, that's only about 10% of what you need to know whenever you move here. You're also going to need to know so many other things, like important questions to ask before you rent anything. Who are the trustworthy real estate agents in town? Who are the trustworthy immigration attorneys that you can use? How are you going to get your pet here? How do you buy a car? How do you get a driver's license? So all those things are covered in our online Panama relocation guide. Next caller is Kate, area code 507. Go right ahead with your question for Julie.
Thank you, Jackie. Hi, Julie. I am so excited about the topic for this call, so thank you, Jackie, for setting this up. I am single.
You're welcome.
With a dog, and my goal is to move to Panama in May. I already have the online guide. My question is, I know we've heard that there's a lot of single women, but are there a lot of single women in their 40s, early 50s, and also single men at those age groups?
Yes.
Well, Jackie knows all of Panama better than I do, so she'll have to answer it.
I can tell you that
in the Coronado area, there's more people that are in like their 20s, 30s, and 40s. Plus there's people that are retirement age there as well, but the younger people seem to want to do the surfing and the beach volleyball and all those kind of things. But even in our area in Boquete, we're seeing so many people that are, I'm sure you've probably seen the nomadic movement on YouTube, they're in their 20s and they've moved here, and and they've attracted people that are in their 20s and 30s and 40s from all over the world, from South Africa and Venezuela and Europe and other places that have moved here. But even before they came, there were people in that age group that were coming, single people and married people, some with children, some with no children. Some of them have pets, some of them don't have pets.
Fantastic. And I do follow them. They actually were, quite an inspiration in addition to you, Jackie. So thank you. I'm so excited. I was hoping that was the answer.
We look forward to meeting you when you get here.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Next caller is Carla. Go right ahead. Carla, area code 817. I've unmuted your line. Hello. Carla, did you press mute? Go ahead and unmute your line so you can ask your question.
Hi, Jackie. I'm sorry. Can you hear me?
There you are. There you are. I wasn't going to give up on you yet.
I was in another room. I thought I had removed myself because you said if it's not for Julie, just, you know, hold off until next week. But since I'm here, I'll go ahead and shoot it. You mentioned that, no, I think Julie mentioned that she lost some things in her shipment. And I've heard before, you know, on Facebook and stuff, people losing things. And my question is, how is that happening? Is it the shippers? Is it once it gets to Panama, they open it up and steal it back? Or do they take it while they're packing? Or does anyone really know? And how often does that happen?
On this call, I don't remember mentioning that, although it did happen
whenever,
to me.
When your call dropped, I mentioned that I thought that you had, that some of your things didn't show up when they were supposed to. I don't know, did you ever get those things back?
No, I missed two crates, and it's funny because they were like, you know, things for my hair ribbons and brushes, and it was things that would appeal to only a woman or a young woman, and no, I didn't get them back, but I was reimbursed.
Yeah, and I can tell you that I know hundreds of people that have shipped stuff here, and very, very, very rarely is anything missing or is anything damaged if you're using a good international mover.
And I have to say, Jackie, I've never met anybody who's had the experience I have, so it was just a fluke. Everybody gets their stuff. It was just me.
Yeah, well, and, you know, I do know one couple that used a super low-budget container company. It was like $4,000 to ship a 40-foot container. So they shipped two 40-foot containers, and only one of them showed up. They never got the other one. All that stuff was lost. So it's not worth it to try to save money and go low-budget on the international movers. If these things are so important to you that you're shipping them here, make sure you're using a reputable company. So we've got David, and then we have another call with Jonathan after that, and then we're going to call it a day. So, David, go right ahead with your question, area code 770.
Hey, Jackie and Julie. Jackie, I'm the one that normally call in Saturday. I was calling in late today, so I miss a lot of Julie's information. But the question I have, Julie, is can you tell me your process when you open the bank account? Did you have to have references? Was it like being approved before you actually could get a bank account? Do you remember?
It was a breeze. I did have a bank. I had a letter from my bank, as Jackie advised. So my banker in Texas, typed out a brief letter that I had accounts with Bank of America, and I took it to Multibank, and that's it. It was done. It was breeze.
One of the important things that we do is we like in our online Panama Relocation Guide, we give you a list of banks that we know are really good and that they have online banking in English and Spanish. Not all banks in Panama have online banking in English and Spanish. Some of them are only Spanish. And then you can contact the manager. You can send all your documents in advance so everything is approved and already into the computer whenever you get here. And that makes it so that you can open up your account really, really fast. They just want $1,500 cash to open up the account, and it's super easy. And our next caller is Jonathan, area code 808.
Oh, yes. Hi, Jackie, and hi, Julie. Thank you so much for all this wonderful information. I'll try to be quick. I'm a little last in the line here. I wanted to ask about the pesticides, you know, the GMOs and all that. I'm wondering how extensive it is in the country and in general, you know, specifically in where you live. Is it something that is, you know, of concern to people, or perhaps it isn't of concern to you? It just is one of the concerns that I have.
I've had my house fumigated, in fact, just a couple of weeks ago, and it was totally green and effective. And I know Jackie can give you more information about that.
Yeah, so
I was thinking more of the agriculture.
If you're asking about, yeah, like on agriculture, so I can tell you that if the food comes from Cerro Punta, it probably has some pesticides and other things on it that you might not want to eat. But you have a choice in Panama. There's a lot of places here that grow organic food. There's a lot of local farmers in our area and throughout Panama that grow food, and it doesn't have any of that stuff on it. So the stuff that's from Cerro Punta is going to have a little sticker on it that says from Cerro Punta, and you can choose just don't buy that, and then it's not a problem. There's so many other ways that you can get organic food that's non-GMO. In my garden, all my seeds are non-GMO seeds. We don't use any pesticides or any kind of chemicals at all.
That's great.
You can definitely get things that are healthy.
Okay, one other quick question about the vaccines, which, of course, is a sensitive topic for some people. They're concerned about whether vaccines are going to be forced on the population. Is there kind of a feeling about how the government is positioned on that in Panama?
Yep. Actually, there was kind of some fake news that came out a few weeks ago that they were going to force everybody to do a vaccine if they wanted to leave their province. And so I had a conversation with a doctor in Panama City about it, also with the mayor in our area, and they said absolutely not, that even in Panama, for children to go to school, there's no requirement for you to get a vaccine for children to go to school, whereas in the United States, your kids can't go to public schools if they're not vaccinated. But here, it's choice. You have the choice to be vaccinated or not be vaccinated. You have a choice to vaccinate your children or not vaccinate your children. So when and if they ever do come up with an effective COVID vaccine, and I know they're doing some testing on it here in Panama, then it'll be a personal choice. People can take it or they cannot take it. And everybody has their own philosophy about those things. So that was our last caller. Jonathan, thank you so much for calling in. Thank you for everybody that called in today and for your patience for us going for an hour and a half just about. And Julie, thank you so much for your time calling in today to share your experience of moving here to Panama. As a single woman, I know we get so many calls and emails from people that are single that say, is it safe? Am I going to be the only single person? And even on our tours, people say, am I going to be the only single person on the tour? And I say, no, we have a lot of single people on the tour, and we have married couples as well. And sometimes, even on our tour, a little romance could break out. We just never know what might happen.
Well, Jackie, it's been a pleasure, and I am willing to help you and your callers or people on your tours or your virtual tours in any capacity I have, because you changed my life, and I trust you. I mean, wow, you are a saint. you are, and you take such good care of people, not just when they're thinking about coming to Panama, not just when they're on your tour or perusing your book, but afterwards. You provide so much support to us, and I am so gracious to you, my dear friend. Thank you so much.
And thank you, Julie, for the kind words, and thank you again for being on the call. You know, everybody needs somebody to hold their hand whenever they get here, and I'm it. I'm one of the people that's going to be holding your hand, and when you need to know anything, you just call Jackie, and I'm here to help you.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you so much, dear.
Thanks, Julie, and thanks, everybody, for calling in this Saturday. I'll talk to you next week. Good night, everybody.
Good night.